close.
Yeah, Nick's doing better. He was in, met with the trainers today. He won't practice today. He has to go through a set protocol of when he can, when he's allowed back, and he'll have to see an independent before he's allowed back. But and talking to him, he said he feels like he's doing better. So
has he passed the impact test?
He hasn't taken that yet, from what I understand. Yeah, Mike got some team reps for the first time. You know, he had done some 7-on-7, but hadn't been in really involved in team. Did a little bit of team last week, but it was scout team. So, you know, got some reps, said he felt decent. You know, the biggest test for him is how does he bounce back? You know, where is he, you know, from one day to the next day and where he is? I can be honest with you, I don't think he ran 100%. You know, he wasn't running full sprints out there yesterday in practice, but he looks like he's progressing. So.
Did he take all the first team reps yesterday?
No, him and Matt switch.
Fletcher, Chung, not where are they in their
health? Pat practiced full yesterday. Fletch was limited, and Jake is out right now. You know, didn't practice at all. So we'll see how those guys progress. But Pat was encouraging. Pat went through it, so said he felt good. We'll see again with Pat. It's a kind of a daily thing. Is how does he bounce back? How does, if you did some work on Tuesday, then how do you come back and play on Wednesday? So.
Seems like how's that helped the situation with the safeties, with not having Patrick Chung and him kind of advancing?
Well, obviously it helps when you can develop some depth, and that's what we felt when we got Earl in here. We think he's a talent. The biggest thing with Earl is just his lack of experience, and as he keeps playing now, we've played 7 games. You know, you got 4 preseason games and 7 games, and you know, the one thing with Earl, and I think Earl's really kind of, it's like our defense has been on a weekly basis, it improves, you know, and you're starting to see that. He's starting to feel more comfortable. And now once you start to feel comfortable, all the little teeny details of can you hold your disguise a little bit longer instead of, you know, not sure, hey, where number 2 is, and then you run around just to get lined up before the snap, you can do the little things. And I think that's what Earl's doing, and I think that's what our defense overall in general is doing. So,
how would you assess the way the special teams have played this morning
season? I've been pleased with them. I think there's particular plays where, you know, you wish it was a little bit different, but I think overall, I think they, you know, we're getting good effort. You know, sometimes the bottom of our roster has been transformed a little bit, I think, with some injuries. So you're kind of throwing some new guys in there, you know, that had been integral special teams guys. You know, I think losing Jason Phillips to start the season, who we thought was going to be a really good special teams player for us. Jake Knott's a guy that's been a real good special teams player for us, but he's out. You know, so I think Phipps been kind of maneuvering some guys around. Obviously, you know, the performance in the Denver game was not, you know, there were the 2 plays in the Denver game, the block punt and the kickoff return for touchdown. But, you know, I'm happy with where we are. I think there's, like everything, that we continue to improve in that area. But, you know, I think they've done a decent job.
With the refs yesterday on 11-11, Mike and
Matt Barkley.
Yeah, they split 50-50, or Matt took all the reps?
I didn't say 50-50. I just said,
split, so
he
know.
Said, did Matt take all of them? And I said, no, Matt got some too.
Okay, so was it normal where Mike got a lot and then Matt
yeah.
got a few?
Yeah.
Okay.
Having talked to Mike, do you get the feeling that he'll be ready to go on Sunday?
I just know Mike will be ready for practice today.
Jason Kelce was really critical of himself after the last Giants game. How did he react after that game, and what did you see from him last
I think Jason Kelce takes everything to heart, and that's what's awesome about Jason Kelce. I think he's a... You know, he demands perfection from himself, and I think he knows. I don't think anybody's going to get perfection, but, you know, that's the standard he sets from himself. So, if Jason Kelce graded out at 99%, he'd be pissed off. You know, that's just the type of guy he is, and that's why he's awesome to have on this team. So I don't think Jason played as poorly as he thought he played in the Giants game, but, you know, he's a competitor. He thinks he should make every block. He thinks he should make every correct call, and he's really been an anchor for us in the middle there.
Chip, the last time out, the Giants held Shady to his lowest rushing total of the year. What did they do to box him up, and how do you counter that this time?
It, you know, it just depends on what you're going to do. I also know Mike ran for 79 yards in a quarter and a half. So, you know, I think you can devote what you want to do to try to take one guy away. But then if that be the case, then other guys have to, you know, step up. I think, you know, obviously Deshaun had a good performance out wide. You know, if you're going to play man coverage and try to contain us in the box, then other guys have to contribute in terms of being able to help and uncover some things. So, you know, there's a couple runs where LeSean hit it, came out the other side, and you know, was one guy away from making it into a really, really big play. So it's a game in terms of we need to execute a little bit better in the run game, obviously. But I feel like, you know, if you're going to try to gang up on one aspect, then we need to be able to lean on another aspect for us to be successful offensively.
Was it reasonable to think of him running 79 yards in a quarter and a half this time, given that he's coming off the hamstring?
Feasible? Sure.
Was it
Would you feel comfortable playing Mike if he's at the same place where he is health-wise right now?
I'm gonna. We'll wait till how he progresses and how he goes. You know, and a lot of that comes from the feedback from Mike in terms of where he is. I know he's progressed, but to put a number on it, I'm not gonna put a number on it.
So. His toughness. I mean, you've seen a lot of tough players. Where does that kind of rank with some of the guys that you coach, Mike Vick?
Who, Mike? Mike's. I mean, that's one of his truly good qualities and maybe a truly bad quality at times when you see him in the Redskins game trying to lead block on a game on a play. You know what I mean? And I think it's you want a quarterback with that mentality, obviously, but you also, you know, and I think he's done a better job from a decision-making standpoint from that. I don't think Mike's taken a lot of really big hits. That's why I think for Mike it's frustrating. You know, he runs out of bounds and does what he's supposed to do and hurts his hamstring, where I know probably in the back of his mind he was like, if I just ran that guy over, I wouldn't have hurt my hamstring. But, you know, I don't think he's taken the hits and he's really been conscious of that, of trying to get down and trying to get out of bounds and do things the right way. And that's why I think this is a little bit frustrating for him. But in terms of Mike's toughness, I think it's a quality in all quarterbacks that I think is very underrated. You know, if you stand back there in the pocket and you let a bunch of 300-pounders run full speed at you and you're not supposed to look at them, you know, you're supposed to concentrate on the receiver or the read you're supposed to do, and then just let it go and know you're going to get hit. You know, that takes a truly tough guy. And I think for all guys, you know, I think Eli Manning is the same exact way. You know, you watch the hits that Eli's taken this year, and that's a quality. If you're a real student of the game and the quarterbacks that stand in there and know they're going to get hit, there's an unblocked guy, and it's easy for a coach or someone watching the game as well. The blitz is coming. You just got to throw it hot. Well, you try that. You know, you let that guy run full speed in your face and not worry about that he's coming, and then drop the ball accurately to where it's supposed to go while that guy hits you. And I think that's a quality that Mike has that, you know, it makes him a special player. So
when you hired Bill Davis, you didn't know much about him. Pat Shurmur, the organization, knew a lot about him. What do you know now about him that after what, 9 or 10 months that you really didn't know initially and surprised you and
well, I don't think it surprised me. I mean, we were pretty thorough in how we went about it. I don't know if you guys remember that, but I think a lot of people were concerned that we took a long time hiring a defensive coordinator because we weren't just going to hire the first guy. You know, we were pretty thorough in who he worked for before and what was he like when he coached with them, and then put him through an extensive interview here. And Billy's what I thought he was going to be. I think, first and foremost, he's an outstanding teacher. You know, I think he can effectively communicate what he wants to happen. He can get that done. You know, some guys are great when they're in a classroom and they're X and O's and they can tell you how much football they have, but the ability to be a great educator is, can you transport that knowledge to the person that needs it? And I think that's what he does. He's an effective communicator. When you watch him in the room with our defensive staff, first and foremost, and making sure that everybody understands, and then with our players. And if he doesn't get his point across the first time, then he'll find another way to get his point across. But it's still, you know, the interesting thing for me, and that I'm really happy with how Billy's done it, is the defense that we ran against the Cowboys is the same defense that we ran in the beginning of the year when, you know, we were much maligned in terms of, you know, what are we doing and all those other things. But I think Billy has conviction in terms of what he's doing. I think he's sound in how he approaches things. I think he has answers. You know, if they're doing this, we need to do that. But I also know he's really, really in tune to where our players are of how much they can handle. And a lot of times the answer is, hey, we should do this, but I don't know if our players are prepared to do that. So maybe he takes the shot that hey, we're not doing what we need to do. But he's a great communicator. He's a really, really smart guy, and I'm really happy that we got him right now.
When do you need to feel comfortable with your quarterback, or if Michael is going to be ready? What day of the week?
Yeah, I don't go with comfort, because if it was my comfort, I would say right now I wish I knew exactly who our starter was and he was 100%. That would make me feel comfortable. Okay, would have made me feel comfortable last week. What?
When do you need to know?
I need to know as close as we can get to go. But I can't force the health issue. So from a standpoint of when would I feel comfortable, I would have felt comfortable 4 weeks ago. But I don't control that. You know, and that's the deal. And it's, I don't mean to be evasive. I know people ask the questions. But 2 weeks ago, Nick Foles was ready to go. And then on Friday at practice, he hurts his groin. And they're like, basically, holy crap, what do we do now? Thank goodness it wasn't a real serious deal, and it didn't affect him. He went out and played really well in the Tampa Bay game. But on the same day, our emergency quarterback, James Casey, hurts his groin, is down and misses the game. So I don't go to bed any day feeling comfortable about anything, because the next day you go out and practice, something can happen. So I don't look at it from that standpoint.
The point I'm trying to make is, when does Matt, in your mind, need to take more reps if, in fact, Michael's not going to be ready?
ready?
It depends on how, if Michael's ready. So I don't have a timetable on that. That's my point. That's the answer I'm trying to give you.
After the game plan for a team that you played just 3 weeks ago, and you notice any differences between that now and the team you're going to play this week?
Yeah, that's a great question. Because I think you can stay up late at nights going, they did this last game and then we did this, and they know that we did this, so we need to change because we think they're going to do that. But they're in the same room saying the same exact thing, is that they did this, so we know they're going to change, so we're going to change. And you end up not sleeping the second time you play somebody, you know what I mean? But basically it's going to come down to is that we're going to do what we do, they're going to do what they do. They're a little bit different, especially on the defensive side of the ball, with the addition of John Beeson at linebacker, who wasn't there when we played him the last time. Linville Joseph didn't play against us, so they got a couple new parts in there. But their defense is going to be very similar to what we saw 3 weeks ago. Our offense is going to be very similar to what they saw. And the same thing, our defense compared to their offense. You know, I think it's going to be it's going to be similar, but it's who executes the best. But I think you can go back and forth with the whole, they did this, so we're going to do that, then they do this, and then we counter that. And then, you know, at the end of the day, it's still, we're going to do what we do, and they're going to do what they do, and whoever executes the best is going to win the football game.
After the Tampa game, you said that the size of the Giants line was a tough matchup for you guys. Mm-hmm. What makes that a tough matchup for the Tampa?
I just think you got two, now four big bodies inside that are that aren't what we normally see in this league. You know, there's not a lot of, I mean, Sean Rogers, he's a big dude now. A big dude that can run. You know, I know Pat Shermer said he looks like the state of Rhode Island out there when you look at the tape, but the one thing that impresses you with him is how athletic he is. You know, some guys in those situations, you're like, all right, you know, he's big and physical, but you know, you can get around him and move him. I mean, I was really impressed when you saw him in action. He's a big athlete that can move, so.
Okay.